I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
For today's podcast, I'm going to talk about one of the other foundation pillars for La Tribu, which is fruitfulness. And this is actually one of the main questions I get from people, and it's actually one of the main reasons why people come to La Tribu for their coaching. And that's, how can I be more productive, right? Everybody's always chasing how do you be more efficient? How do you be more productive? And the true definition of fruitfulness is a state of being extremely productive. And the true definition of productive is a way to measure efficiency. I love the way Charles Duhigg says it, and he says, it's making decisions that move us from being busy to genuinely productive. So at the end of the day, it's being more efficient, it's doing more with less time, it's doing more with less effort, right? And in my coaching philosophy, it is achieving your goals while still having the necessary time to spend with the most important things in your life, which are family, which are personal hobbies, which are friends, right? It could even be the ability to create time to give back and volunteer at your church, volunteer at a nonprofit or a local organization, right? The first things that I touch on when I'm talking about productivity are the misrepresentations, if you want to call it, of productivity. And we see this all the time, and I see it all the time, and you can pinpoint it, right? And one of them is being busy all the time. The people that I'm always just so busy, I have so much to do, my to-do list grows and grows and grows, and the people that are always feeling behind. So when I put it into context, I always tell people, it's not the schedule that leads you, right? The schedule doesn't control you. You're supposed to control the schedule. So I agree with the statement that true productivity is being ahead of schedule. How can I be in charge of my schedule to where the schedule isn't in charge of me? And by doing that is I'm ahead of schedule. I know it's not a perfect world. I know things come up. I know you might have planned for something or for certain things to go a certain way, and it just didn't happen that way. But we're okay with that because the majority of the time we're staying ahead of schedule. So having this conversation and thinking about what I would say on this podcast and speaking about productivity, I asked some of the La Tribu members what being productive means to them. Some of these have been with me for a long time, and some of these have been with me for a couple months. The majority answered it and said, it's taking care of business, whether it's personal business, career business, or even just in your own business, related in a manner that ends with more free time to spend with friends and family. So it's taking care of business, taking care of whatever you have to do in a manner that gives you more free time, pretty much. And this was very, you know, enjoyable for me to see that was a response, because it coincides with what the whole aspect of accountability coaching really is. So when I have to answer what an accountability coach really is, when people ask me, what is it you do? That's just it. It's being able to set goals, accomplish those goals while not forgetting the important things in life. We all want more money. We all want a better job. But what the majority of the people want is more time. Like, how can I get time back? We can't just add hours at the end of the day. We've all heard that before. We all have 24 hours in a day. So how can I be more efficient with the things that I have to do so I can spend the other time with the things that I want to do? And we'll get into that a little bit, you know, further in the podcast of the have to do and want to do. But in relation to La Tribu, I created a habit list for this. So I'm not the first one. I'm not going to claim I'm the first one to create a to-do list or a habit list for certain things like this. But with mine, I made sure it included everything that is important to me. And I have one in front of me because I want to share at least what the daily habits are. And those are exercise, journaling, meditation or prayer, fellowship, which is either connecting with a friend or connecting with a family member, mindset, self, and then I left three open spots, and those are just under other. And the ones I named off, those are what we call non-negotiables. So everybody that's a part of the tribe has to do these on a daily basis. The majority of the tribe members already had a strong exercise regimen, a strong exercise routine. So that wasn't a struggle. The struggle was when you have to incorporate all the other things that you have to accomplish along with the things that you already have to accomplish for work and family and all that, right? So the beauty of this list is the fact that we have those non-negotiables, but we also have the other slots to be able to customize it. And that's where the power of being able to be flexible with a list like this comes into play, because, for instance, on the weekly habits, there's only one weekly habit on the list, and that's being a go-giver. That's giving back. That's giving back to your community, helping somebody out, whatever that looks like. And we can, and I'm actually going to do a podcast on being a go-giver or being, you know, or giving back to the community later on, and we'll get into that. But that's the only one that's on the weekly habit. And again, just like in the daily habit side, we have blank spaces to be able to individualize it. And the perfect example for that is, for weekly habit, if you're married, the one of the weekly habits that you write in is date night, right? It's creating the time and the space to either go on a date outside of your home, you know, with your significant other. Obviously, now within quarantine, it's doing it at home, or whether it's a picnic or going for a walk, whatever that looks like, right? But it's creating that time for your significant other. With the difference, if somebody's single and they don't have that significant other, they wouldn't have that as a weekly habit. They'd have their own individual weekly habit that they want to accomplish to make sure that by doing it on a weekly basis, it resonates and it's a long-term, you know, it goes towards their long-term goal. So the ability to be flexible with it is important, because it gives that individuality, right? I'm not selling, or I'm not trying to preach, like, this is everybody's going to do the same thing no matter what, because it just doesn't make any sense. The one thing I do want to make clear is that within this list, that this is something that I've actually experienced and I've gone through myself on a consistent basis and for some time now. It's not a list that just looks cool, even though my wife made it look really, really cool with the design and the graphics and all that, but it actually has a purpose. And the purpose is to be more efficient, to be able to say that even though you were busy in 1 week, you still accomplished everything that you set out to do. Again, in a perfect world, it happens week after week after week. But in the real world, there are speed bumps. There are times where we have to move something over or whatever that looks like to be able to accomplish whatever popped up, right? But the flexibility is the beauty of it. It's the key, being able to accept the fact that things are going to pop up. With this in this list, again, to kind of go over it, you can add things, but you can't take things away. Whatever's on the list that's already pre-printed on the list, that's a non-negotiable. That's everybody in the tribe is doing that. As we move forward, understanding that the to-do list is not like the end-all be-all. It doesn't end just there. It's not just about checking things off the list. It's about creating that routine, which will create a habit, or vice versa, however you want to look. I know there's a lot of discussions about, well, first you have to create the habit, then it becomes a routine. Other people say you create the routine and become a habit. I'm not going to get into that. That's not the important thing. The important thing is, how do we create that habit and that long-lasting habit to where it's almost done subconsciously? It's almost just because it's a normal thing, it just happens. By going through this process of weeding things that are important and not important and all that, weeding those things out, you know, going through this experience, it'll enable you to really get in sync with what it is you have to do and what you want to do. So what is it that I have to do? I have to work, right? The majority of people, you have to go to work to make a living. Even if you own a business, you even work more than if you just had, at least in my opinion, in my experience. So those are the things that we have to do. So what goes on the list or on the schedule is, these are the most important things that I have to do this week, or this, or even if you're going to go on a day-to-day basis. And then you add what it is that you want to do. And those are all the extracurricular activities, as I call it, or the pleasures in life, which is spending time with your family, doing something for yourself, going to a movie, hanging out with friends, going to get a drink with friends, going to dinner with friends, whatever that looks like, right? A lot of our you know, female clients are, you know, well, go get a pedicure, go get my hair done, whatever that looks like. This discussion leads to, how do I accomplish all these things? How do I put these things and make sure in a system and make sure that they get done? And that leads to the time management. And a lot of people, you know, they use the term time blocking. So time blocking is creating that space to accomplish tasks. It's creating the space, creating the time, right? I'm going to time block on Saturday from 10 to 12 because I'm going to go for a bike ride. But it's in my schedule. There's a saying that I learned a few years back, and it was, if it's not on the schedule, it doesn't exist. And I truly believe in that. That if you don't make time for it, if you don't create the space and the time and put it in that schedule, we schedule the most important things in our life. We schedule work stuff. I have to put on my schedule that I have a meeting with so-and-so, or I have a call with a client tomorrow at 1 p.m. because I don't want to forget. So why wouldn't we in turn put everything else that's important in our life? Why wouldn't I put the time that I have Friday from 3 to 5 because I want to take my son to go get ice cream, or take my son and my daughter to go play video games, whatever that is, right? Go for a bike ride. Why wouldn't I do that? So the time blocking is one of the key components of making sure that things are on schedule to get done. Now, without getting too much into it, right? A lot of people have this discussion of, well, I also don't want to live my life like a robot. And I totally understand. From my experience, yeah, it does seem robotic at the beginning, right? Where you're investing time and putting it in the schedule and all that. But to me, I'd rather have that and make sure it gets done than say, well, I don't want to live by a robot, so I'm not going to put it in the schedule, and then I forget. Or I put something else in that time slot because it's not spoken for already. And then I forget. And that time that I had planned to spend with my son or my wife or family or whatever that is gets pushed back. And we always push it back further and further and further. And in it's been weird because through this experience of La Tribu and just mentoring in general, it seems to be the norm that we tend to put things for ourselves on the back burner. Even if I say I'm going to go for a bike ride Friday at 4, something else pops up that day that is for somebody else, and I tend to, at least, or I used to tend to, go do that instead of doing this stuff for myself. And there's this whole conversation going on right now about self-love and really just appreciating yourself and giving yourself that time and the effort to just be happier and creating that space for yourself. So why wouldn't I put that on the schedule just like I would put the important meeting that I have tomorrow with the client? Once you've gone through the time block, the time management process, and really set those things up, the next step is where the accountability coaching comes into play. And whether it's a coach, whether it's an accountability partner, whatever that looks like, that person is there to, again, go back and inspect your day-to-day activities and your week-to-week activities to make sure that you're on course to accomplishing the goal that you agreed to or that you set forth at the beginning, right? And within La Tribu, it looks like the weekly coaching calls that we have and how we go back through the week and we discuss the wins, but we also discuss the losses and how can we make it better for the next week. And that way, I call them building blocks. You know, you build one block, you build another one, and that's how you continuously stack them, and you can see that you're moving forward and that you're growing by having that accountability partner. How many of us have, you know, gone through a process at the gym where if you go to train with somebody, you actually put more effort into it? Why? Because even just showing up to the gym, there are days where maybe you didn't want to go to the gym, but because you know that your buddy or your coach is there waiting for you, you go and you get there. And let's be real, as a husband, and a lot of you will resonate with this, how much more do we get done at home because our significant other, our wife, asked us to do certain things? The famous honey to-do list. If that wasn't there, if she wasn't there, or if the significant other wasn't there to ask you, right? A, did you get that done? Or when are you going to get that done? we would always push that to the side. So again, the power of an accountability partner or an accountability coach, this is where they shine. This is where their value comes in, not only because they're there just to call you on your faults, but it's, okay, you had this fault. How do we transition from that fault, learn from it, and then grow from it for the next week? And then the next week after that, and then continuously, again, those building blocks keep adding up. And it's a true value that clients see all the time, right? I get the messages of, I appreciate you, even for the smallest things, right? We don't look at wins, whether they're small or big. It's either like we all agree that small wins add up to big wins. Sometimes there's a big win. The majority of the time, though, they're small wins, and we accept those small wins. And because we know that those will add up to the big wins. As we move forward to the next step, you know, is the reward. So to me, you know, it's being able to look back at the process, at the journey, right? And continuously inspecting my day-to-day, my week-to-week activities, and saying, you know what, I'm going to reward myself for the effort and the time that I put into creating a better life for myself. The best analogy I have for that is, you know, the famous cheat meal within when somebody's trying to make a lifestyle change or nutrition change in their life is they go through this regimen, right, on a daily basis of trying to eat better, to be healthier, to lose weight, whatever the end goal is. And we sprinkle these cheat meals in there. That cheat meal, it accomplishes two things. One, it kind of keeps that urge to, for instance, you know, to eat cake at bay, right? We eat it and it kind of calms it down for a little bit. But the best part about it is the fact when your brain registers that it's a reward for all the hard work that you've been doing. It's a reward for accomplishing your goal, even if it's a weekly goal. So rewarding yourself and having that reward, and yes, it is kind of dangling that carrot, call it what you want to call it, but it's effective. It's effective because it trains your brain. It allows your mind to take in the process of achieving the goal and the pain that it took to get through that process by enjoying the reward after you do so. So if we go through this, right, we set up the system, which is the daily habit checklist, and we move to, okay, what's next? If I'm struggling with getting these things done, then we move to time blocking. How can I get better at managing my time to where the schedule isn't controlling me, but I'm controlling the schedule? An overlooked point in a lot of these things is the ability to fail. Nobody really wants to talk about the failures that you're going to go through in trying to make a change like this, because for a lot of people, it's a drastic change. Even on the nutrition side, again, I love that analogy because it's one of the, I guess, simplest analogies that people can connect to, which everybody at one point in their life was trying to be healthier. And it's not always a weight thing, right? But it really is a feel-good thing. So I'm going to start eating healthier because I want to feel better, which in turn will make me look better. And again, it's a vicious cycle of wanting to feel better. So if we go through that process, we're going to fail. And to me, I've always preached and I've taught that if you accept failure, you're more open to turning that into a positive. And right before I hit record, actually, to record this podcast, I had a coaching call with a client. And she was telling me about a situation that happened yesterday. And it was, at the time, it was a very negative situation. And she went through it. And after talking to her boss and after talking to me this morning, we came to the conclusion that there's a lot of positives to take away from that negative situation. And the most important thing is you learn how not to handle it the next time. So with failure, when you're doing any type of adjustment, or whether it's wanting to be healthier, whether it's wanting to be better with your time, to be able to do the things you enjoy, whatever that is, be expecting to fail. And it's okay. It all depends on how you take that failure, though. So with her, she failed yesterday. She felt like it was a failure. But today, she turned it into a positive. Why? Because she's never going to deal with that situation the same again, right? So you take the failures as a positive, which the positive is a learning experience, or you can also dwell on the negative aspect of that failure, which in turn, you know, removes the focus of you moving forward, removes the focus of you actually growing from the situation, and then you're stuck in that negative way. So productivity is this, it's this ever-evolving, ever-changing process that you have to be open to everything. You have to be, you have to have the ability to set the process in play and adjust, and we use the words course correct, throughout the process just to make it better. So again, I hope you enjoy this podcast. I want to say thank you for everybody that subscribed and downloaded the previous podcasts. We're really just trying to bring a lot of content, a lot of things that are important to people nowadays. And for me, you know, sharing what La Tribu is all about and what we stand for is obviously one of the most important things, because I just want to share the experiences that I've learned through being a mentor and being a coach in this environment, and also share the experiences of my clients. So the podcast to come, you know, for however long, will be just the people that are making an impact in today's world, in whatever industry, whatever field that they have, people that have overcome struggles and what they've done to get to that point. So again, I just want to thank you guys for listening and be on the lookout for the next one.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.